Our passage from Paul's letter to the community in Ephesus this morning is one that has a hint of militancy in it. The idea of wearing armor, even armor of God, invokes images of war, conflict, and violence. Indeed, this passage has been used to provide support for soldiers. The passage has been read with a sense of militancy and aggression in the past. And it does contain images which we associate with warfare. As a result, this passage is often jarring to our modern understanding of what it means to be a Christian. We do not think of Christians as being warlike, though we might confess that at times we recognize we need to stand up and perhaps defend ourselves. During World War II, the Women's Missionary Society, the WMS of the Presbyterian Church in Canada, provided annual donations to the Chaplaincy Committee of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. And this money was provided to print a booklet entitled The Armor of God, a pocket companion for Canadian Presbyterians in His Majesty's Forces. This booklet, it's about this big, was carried by chaplains and given to soldiers in the field. And on one of the first pages of the booklet was the passage from Ephesians, which we heard this morning. This booklet used this passage to encourage soldiers who were fighting in World War II to remember that they were protected, loved by God, and as a reminder of why they were fighting. And the rest of the book went through talking about why they were fighting. It's a fascinating little book, and if you would like to look at it, I have photocopies of it. If you want to see the original, you'll need to go to the archives of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. But I do have photocopies of it. And what's interesting is I have a photocopy from 1941 when it was first published. And I have a photocopy from the early 50s when the war was ended. And there are sections which are crossed out of that later edition. And so it shows you our changing thought as well on war. So if that's something that is of interest to you, let me know and I'll print it out for you. But this little book does provide a fascinating insight into this passage this morning, how it has been read, and in some cases, how it continues to be read. Others read this passage with its reference to the devil and other powers as a reminder that we are indeed locked into an eternal struggle. We are at war. Right at this present moment, we are at war with the devil and with sin. A cosmic battle is taking place beyond our sight, yet within our control. Hollywood likes this image a lot and has made a lot of movies depicting angelic and demonic forces waging war while humans scramble around trying to pick up the pieces. These two interpretations, both which have an air of militancy, aggression, and violence about them, require us to take a hard look at this passage and ask ourselves, what is going on here? What is Paul writing about? Remember, this is a letter to a church community. What is Paul writing about? And do we really need to be like soldiers? Important questions when we remember that we serve and follow Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of life. The same Jesus who said, turn the other cheek. So why is Paul telling this community in Ephesus to put on a suit of armor. Well, let's consider Paul and where he was writing from. He is writing to this church community in Ephesus, and he is writing from a jail cell. Paul tells us this in the very last verse of the passage we had this morning when he writes, "Though now I am in prison." Some translations make this a little more poetic by writing, "For which I am an ambassador in chains." Now, while in a Roman prison, Paul would, of course, been confronted by the image of a Roman soldier on a daily basis. And so he subverts that image, and he subverts the usage of armor and weapons. And his message is actually very countercultural. See, the early followers of Christ were pacifists, which again is counter to the aggressive position of the Roman Empire, a position that was a power that was held in place by the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. And how was the Pax Romana kept in place? Well, it was enforced by the Roman army. So using the image of the Roman soldier subverts its power. So now that we know where Paul was when he was writing, let's look at that church community in Ephesus. Now first, let's remember that at this time in history, being a follower of Christ was illegal in the Roman Empire. It was okay if you were in Israel or Jerusalem and you were Jewish, of the Jewish faith. That was tolerated by the Roman Empire. But this break-off sect following the way of Christ was not legal. It was illegal. Christianity has not yet been recognized by the Roman Empire. That wouldn't happen until the year 313. And Paul is writing his letter around the year 60. The letter of Paul's does not name any particular persecution that Christians were facing, but we do know that daily harassment and discrimination was occurring for followers of Christ. Remember, Paul himself is in prison because he was a Christian. The religion of the day was the cult of the emperor. The belief was that when a Roman emperor died, they were deified. So the Roman emperor, when they died, became a god. Around the time that Paul was writing his letter, a new temple had been constructed in Ephesus to the emperor Domitian. So it is possible that these new Christians, and they would be new Christians who had just come to their faith, were being taken to the temple and asked to worship the emperor. Additionally, Ephesus was a thriving commercial hub of the Greco-Roman world. And it would take time for these new converts to Christianity to release themselves of the Greco-Roman Platonic, I know that's a mouthful, cosmology, the religion that they understood. Paul was writing to them to stand fast in their belief in Christ and to battle the other forces around them, both temporal and cosmic. Paul is not asking Christians to put on a literal suit of armor, nor is he asking Christians to go out and to fight against their neighbors because of the persecution that they're facing. He is asking them to stand fast. And you will see that those words, stand fast, repeated throughout this passage. To stand fast in the face of opposition and persecution. He is asking them to trust in God and to let go of their old ways. So we have a little bit of better insight into why Paul is writing to this church community and why he has co-opted and subverted the image of the Roman soldier. The question I think we maybe have before us at this point is, what are the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of our dark age? Let's bring this letter 2,000 years into the future. And of course, those rulers, authorities, and powers are many, and they are varied. To be short, it is anything that is pulling us away from our relationship with God. Anything that demands that we worship it instead of God. It is those powers and people which say personal wealth is more important than your neighbor's welfare. In other words, it is much of what we face and experience during our day-to-day lives. What we watch on TV, how the news media shapes our views, how politicians often prey on fear. Businesses which put profit before sustainability, which makes it sound like there really is a battle to be fought and won after all. We have heard God's promise to us in Jesus Christ. Our job today is to hear what Paul is saying to us about the struggle that we will face. Paul tells us repeatedly in this passage, as I mentioned, to stand fast. For we know what we're up against. We know what's out there. And we need to stand up when we witness injustices. And we need to speak out about it. The sword of truth. Friends, this is a passage about dependence on God. Standing strong when standing strong with God, even when the world seems to abandon us and when it abandons God. The good news we find is that we are in a case of already and not yet. We have seen the triumph in Christ, but we are not yet beyond the battle. We wrestle with rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers in the confidence of Christ's triumph. Paul asks us to stand firm. However, he is not asking us to dogmatically hold to a position. Instead, Paul asks that we stand for something that is not transient, something instead which is transcendent and renewing. Paul is not asking us to get stuck on an issue or to rigidly defend our position. In this letter of his, Paul is not saying that one theology or belief is better or more correct. Instead, Paul is interested in the larger picture of God's grace and mercy. However, we should be aware that in this passage, Paul is preparing us for a struggle, perhaps even for battle. However, the battle is not a physical altercation. Rather, the battle is far more subtle, and the opponent is very deceptive. Often we may not even know that the battle is going on around us. Yet, friends, we stand fast. We hold ground because in Christ, the victory has already been won. Amen.